Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for subscribing to the latest edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Man, check this out. If you've been following the podcast, you know that I said at the beginning of this year, this calendar year, what we're going to do is highlight HBCUs. As always, as you guys know, maybe you don't know, I am a proud HBCU alum. I attended a historically black college and university, South Carolina State University, located in the Garden City of Orangeburg, South Carolina. And what I decided to do was highlight other HBCUs, but I wanted to change something different a little bit this year. What I wanted to do was bring on other HBCU alums and have them talk about their experience, because I, as I mentioned earlier this year, you know, a lot of times with people, you know that they attended an HBCU, but you don't necessarily know the backstory or maybe their experiences. And what I want to do is have some people who had never been on the podcast before come through and talk about their experiences. And on this episode, we will be doing just that. On this episode, I am bringing forth a young lady who I've attended school. I think we went to middle. I know we went to middle school together and high school together.
Graduated
in 1991. Ladies and gentlemen, welcoming to the podcast for the first time, my homegirl, Katrina. Katrina, what's up?
Hello, and all of your listeners. I am so excited and happy to be on your podcast. I have been stalking Kyle on Instagram and all of his social media and asking and begging for tips on how to do this. So I'm elated to finally be on the 12 Kyle podcast.
Oh, trust me, you are perfect for a podcast. Trust me, that you're a natural. So if you're watching, thank you for watching. And you see the headline, it says Katrina chose Hampton University. So as you can see on YouTube, if you're watching, she's donning her Hampton gear and she's got the Hampton in the background as well. So let's start right there, Trina. Why did you choose Hampton?
You know, I knew I wanted to go to an HBCU by the time we got to our senior year. I knew that. And honestly, Hampton was not on my radar. We had some classmates from our high school, Wilson High School, that had already gone to Hampton. Joey Hayward, give him his shout out. Mm-hmm. And Robert Buford, may he rest in peace. They were already there. And they came back one summer and they were like, listen, you need to go to Hampton. I was like, Hampton? Where is that? And they were like, Hampton, Virginia. I'm like, well, why do I need to go to Hampton? You look just like a Hampton girl. I said, okay, what do the Hampton girls look like? And if you know Robert and you know Joy, right, they're fine. I was like, well, let me search Hampton University. So that was my initial introduction to Hampton. And mm-hmm. I bugged my parents and went down to high school day. And they do this every year, first Friday in April, we have high school day. And of course, a lot of our HBCU institutions do this. They open up the university. All the programs are there, departments. I mean, they just put their best foot forward in introducing the school, the culture to you, the organizations, the sororities, fraternities. I mean, everything that you can imagine. You get to tour the campus, tour the dorms. And Cal, when I tell you, when I drove on that campus and I saw all those black people walking around.
Wow.
And you know, we went to a black high school. So right. I mean, that wasn't out of my
It wasn't a culture shock, see. Right.
Right. It wasn't culture shock to see that. But that campus was gorgeous. The first thing they told us to do is just drive all the way to the back. And one thing that is very significant and unique to our campus is that we're surrounded by water on three sides. So when you drive to the back of that campus and you look across and there's the Hampton River, which opens out to the Chesapeake Bay. And then on the other side is Marina with all the boats. I mean, it was beautiful. So I didn't hear program one, two, or three. I was just like, okay, this is home. This is it. Honestly, just being on campus and the atmosphere and the beauty of that institution, I mean, I was sold. I mean, our dorms are right on the water. So when you walk out of your dorm and you look, you're on the water. So I was like, this is gorgeous. Now, of course, once I went through high school day, right, and I actually listened to the presentations and I went there with a an idea of being in broadcast journalism. So I went there looking at Howard Scripps communications and their programs. And after getting the meat and potatoes of all of that,
right,
then I really was sold. Yeah. But that was my first introduction to Hampton.
Wow. That is an amazing story. I love the fact that you said it felt like home. Because that's what I told my sons, you know, when they visited HBCUs, mm-hmm. I was like, pick mm-hmm. whatever school that you're going to pick based on, if it feels like home, then that's where you should go.
That's where you should go. Right. Because we're spending 4 years there.
Exactly.
Right?
At least.
You're spending 4 years there. At least. Right.
At least.
Right. So you want to be somewhere where you feel comfortable, you feel that you can thrive. And, mm-hmm. you know, it just feels right. It just feels right. And I think we all have that gut instinct of when you enter into a space and you're like, this isn't for me. Or you enter in and you're like, okay.
Right.
Do this. And that's immediately, that's what I felt. Yeah.
That is.
I got accepted to University of South Carolina. Winston-Salem State. Got accepted there. So there were a whole bunch of other places that I got accepted to, but mm-hmm. it wasn't until like I went on that campus that I was like, okay, this is definitely it. This is it.
I'm curious, did you visit any other HBCUs? I know you mentioned as far as the beauty of Hampton. Did you visit any mm-hmm. other HBCUs or where was after you visited Hampton, it was a wrap?
It was a wrap. That was it. I was done. They had me at go. I mean, I physically was done. That was it for me. That was it.
Yeah,
I was done.
That's impressive. So In going there, once you got there in the fall of 1991, was there ever any moments where you what I call the mama, I want to come home moments? Because for those of you listening, where we're from in Florence, South Carolina, is Hampton's about 5-6 hour drive.
It is about a 5-6 hour drive. Yeah.
Okay. So did you have any of those I'm ready to come home moments?
I didn't. Interestingly enough, I did not. I had, and you know, this is kind of like with a lot of things. I had a family friend that lived mm-hmm. there, so I didn't feel like I was there by myself. You know, and she was older, so you know, she would come and give me food if I needed, take me grocery shopping. Right. So when my parents left me, it wasn't like I was like in Hampton by myself.
I knew
I had a contact there, and that just made it even better. So it was great.
It's always good to have, you know, that familiar face. Anytime you can have family or friends like that nearby,
exactly,
that makes it makes the transition that much easier.
Right.
So you get on the campus, and you are, or did you know what you wanted to major in when you got there, or what did you major in?
I went to major in broadcast journalism.
Okay,
so I got there. You know how the older students are. So I was talking to someone and they were like, oh, well, what do you want to major in? I said, broadcast journalism. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm here. So what am I going to do? So they had like a fair of all the departments. And I went to that fair, and then my department chair, Dr. Robert Screen, rest in peace. The Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders, which is speech pathology. He did a whole presentation. I was like, okay, I had never heard of speech pathology.
Really?
I had never heard of it. This is kind of neat. You get to like, you know, help kids, you know, pronounce their words, you know, help them with their language skills, and you get to work with adults. And it was just different. I had never heard of it, but I was intrigued. So I changed my major, switched it to communication sciences and disorder, speech pathology, and started my journey and career there. But no, I really wanted to be a broadcast journalist and be a news anchor.
Really?
Do you remember Vanessa Hill? She was like a black news anchor. I used to study Vanessa Hill. I would be at home studying Vanessa Hill.
Wow.
I was going to be Vanessa Hill. And I met her in the mall one day. She was walking in the mall. And I saw her and I was just in awe. I was like, oh my God. Wow. And I introduced myself to her, talked to her for a minute, and I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But, you know, I always say God has his plans, right? Oh, yeah,
of course, of course.
So.
Did you...
speech pathology.
I know having chosen that career path, it took you a lot of down a lot of different roads. But did you have any because we know people like this, and sometimes we've suffered from these things as well, where you have like the post-graduation, you're like, man, if I would have stayed there, I could have been on ESPN by now, that type of thing. Yes. Did you ever have those moments?
Yeah, I still have them now. Listen, after what? Oh, gosh. 8 years of school, I'm still sitting here like, man. I think that's the question we ask as we evolve and we mature and we age. You know, am I living my purpose or am I living God's purpose? Right. You know what I mean? Right. And I often think about that. Like, did I veer off God's path? Should I stayed in broadcast journalism? Or is this really what he wanted me to do? Mm-hmm. You know? So I think about that a lot. You know, after you get a certain age, you think about the years sometimes people think about the years they have left.
Right.
You want to make sure they're fruitful and, you know, you're doing what you want to do. So I think I'm in that phase now. I'm like, man, I really want to make sure I'm doing what I want to do. And I wonder sometimes if that was an avenue that I really should have stayed and explored. But I always go back to God has his plan. So this is what his plan was, and I'm living it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I think anytime you, particularly as we age, like you said, as we age, I think those are natural thoughts to be like, okay, well, you know, I wonder what would have happened if I'd have gone left instead of going right. But I think ultimately, you know, we make good decisions and we make the best decision for ourselves and our family. And we just, you know, put one foot in front of the other. So tell me about the curriculum. What was the hardest class that you had? What was the class that had you pulling your hair out? If there was one, because I know you're smart, so.
Okay, well, thank you. But listen, biology and statistics. Okay.
Really?
I think I cried and prayed through all of those. Now, let's start with biology. Now, one thing I love, and this is what I love about our HBCUs. I think when we were in high school, although our high school was predominantly African American, I mean, we didn't have a lot of black teachers. We had some, but not a lot.
You're right. We didn't.
But when you go on an HBCU campus, it's so diverse and multicultural, right? Not only do you have African-American professors, you have professors from Africa, from India, I mean, the gamut. So my biology professor was from Africa.
Oh, wow.
Never turned around. He talked to the board. So he's talking like this to the board, and he's just, never turned around.
Really?
And as students, we were sitting there going, oh my God, did you get that? Did you get that? Anybody transcribe?
Wow.
So I learned that from that biology class, from study groups. We would get together after class. Okay, what did you get? Did you get that? What did you get? And that's how I passed biology. I mean, so when I tell you I prayed through that class, I could not understand anything homeboy said. And this statistics was like a whole nother world, right? And I took that in my master's. And then when I did my doctorate at Howard, I had to take statistics. And that was the Indian professor. And his accent was so thick.
Yeah.
Again, my cohort that I was sitting beside, I was like, okay, I'll get that. No, I didn't get it. Did you get that? I mean, so again, those are two classes that I just prayed through, and whatever the minimum requirement that I needed, I was like, God, just let me get that. Just let me get that. Yeah. But I mean, now when we think about stuff like that now, it's funny, right? But then, oh my gosh, I was praying, calling my mama, I don't know. But you know what? I think that's the beauty of the HBCU experience too. The care that we received from our instructors was totally different, I think, than what you would get at a PWI. I think, and when students ask me this question, or people just ask me this question in general, why an HBCU? it's the nurturing aspect. When I think about the professors that I had, if I didn't turn in my work, it wasn't like, well, oh, well. It was like, ma'am, I need that paper from you, and I need it like yesterday. And it was just that following up with us and the pushing and the nurturing and the mentoring that you get. I mean, you just can't beat it. The mentoring aspect of it, like if we didn't turn our work in, you know, you got that look when you came back to class, Ms. Brown, I need that paper like yesterday. You know what I mean? It wasn't that you were just a number or a face. It was that mentoring aspect. And you could feel comfortable going to them. Like you said, you were just talking to your professor. I felt comfortable going to them and talking to them and saying, hey, I didn't understand anything you just said to me. Can you help me with this? It was that wanting us to be better. And I think that's the beauty of being at HBCU. They want to see you make it. And they're going to push you, sometimes outside of your comfort zone, to make sure you make it.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Very much so. You're telling the truth. I say it all the time. I think on HBCU campuses, everyone from the president on down to the custodial staff, they have a vested interest in watching you and pushing you toward graduation. And they're there to help, you know. And if you, as long as you're trying, they're going to make sure that that happens. But now, if you're not trying, then they can't help you.
They can't help you. Absolutely.
So now,
I'll tell you a funny story when we were talking about why Hampton and just that feeling of being accepted and knowing that, okay, this feels right. When I stayed at Hampton for my undergrad and for my master's. And when I left for my master's, my department chair, he was like, okay, I'm gonna give you 2 years to work, and then I need you to start working on your doctorate. I was like, my what? Never thought about doing a doctorate. Didn't cross my mind. I was just happy to get that master's, get out, start making some money, go live my life. Woody woo. It's like a doctorate. I didn't even see that in myself. So I said, okay, all right. Went home, back to Florence, worked for 2 years. And in those 2 years, I was like, you know, I don't know if I could be like an actual therapist for the rest of my life, like dealing with kids or working in the hospital. I mean, I worked at a rehab company. They had me in elementary schools. They had me in home health. I was in like nursing home settings, experienced patients dying on me. I was like, I don't know if I could do, you know, be a therapist for the rest of my life. I said, I need some options. I said, well, let me call Dr. Screen back. And that's what I love about our institutions. When you make connections with our, you know, with your professors, it's not just while you're there. That networking is so strong and those relationships are so ingrained that you can pick up the phone and be like, hey, I need help. Even after you graduate as an alum, right? So I did that. I called him back. I said, you know what? I feel stuck. He said, okay, so what schools are we going to apply to? I said, I don't know. I was so green. He said, well, listen, you need to go to Ohio. If I need you to apply to Ohio State, we need to apply to Howard. And he just started naming schools. So I was overwhelmed. I was like, oh, my God. So I applied to Ohio State, right? Got in. I called my God, he's my mentor. Called Dr. Screen. That's been accepted to Ohio State. What now? He said, well, what are they saying? Are they going to offer you money? I said, I think so. They want to fly me out, which they did. He said, well, go. So I went, right? Now, remember I said, it's that feeling that you get, right?
Right.
Because you said, you know, remember, how do you know it's Hampton? Cal, I got off of that plane at the airport, and something just didn't feel right. I mean, I was stepping off the plane. I was like, I don't know about this.
Off the plane?
It was off the plane. Hadn't met anybody, hadn't seen the school off the plane. Just good. Went right. So got to Ohio State, and of course, the Black Student Coalition, they greet me. You know, they have to make sure you see all the Black students.
Of course.
And one of the girls said, off the plane was red flag number one, this red flag number two. One of the Black girls said, oh, so you're the Black girl that's replacing me.
Wow.
I'm the Black girl that's replacing you. Okay, red flag number two. So they really weren't interested in Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
They were interested in a black girl that's a female. So I fit two quotas for mm-hmm. Ohio State at that particular point. So I'll be doggone. So I'm at the faculty mixer and everything. And then the head of department, she comes over, introduces herself, red flag number three. So what do you want to, what do you want to study? What do you want to do your research in? And I said, well, I really want to look at, you know, stroke victims, African-American stroke victims and their neurological function mm-hmm. after they have their stroke cognitively. Oh, well, we don't have anybody to study that. But I'm sure by the time you graduate, we would have hired somebody by then. Mm. Red flag number three. So you're just going to have me sitting here at Ohio State for God right. knows how long. No real mentor for me. Right. To do my research. Yeah. I said, okay, those are three red flags. So after that, I was just like, well, let me just enjoy this free trip to Ohio. Right, but right, I knew right. I wasn't going. Right. So I get back home. I call my mentor and he's like, so how was it? And I told him the three red flags. Mm-hmm. He said, well, we're not going to go there. You can't go there. He said, you didn't hear back from Howard? I said, sir, I didn't apply to Howard. He said, I need you to drive up here. This coming weekend, you need to come to Hampton. Come to my office. I said, okay, yes, sir. Got up there. He got on the phone. Called the chair at Howard. Hey, I have one of my students here. She needs to be in your program in the fall.
Wow.
The lady said, well, I'm going to send you an email. Here's the link with application. Fill it out. And she needs money, my mentor. She needs money. Well, we have a scholarship that she can get on and a grant.
Mm.
That's how I got into Howard, from a Perfect. Phone call. From Perfect. A phone call. So the connections, the relationships that we build there,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it lasts a lifetime. And I'm sure you it have does. Stories like that too. It lasts yeah, a lifetime.
You're right. And it's that's why it's important that, you know, and I heard this somewhere around my sophomore year at South Carolina State. You know, they said, treat everybody well. And the reason being is you never know who you never may know. Need. Down the
Absolutely.
Road. And,
Absolutely.
You know, I try to live by that, especially, you know, when yeah. I was matriculating through the university. But that, mm-hmm. that is a great story. And stories like that happen all the time because, like you said, they're really, really invested in you and your success. And they're trying Absolutely. To do everything they can to help you. And then hopefully you pull one or two along the way with you. And that's how we get
right.
it.
Right.
So I got to ask you a difficult question now.
Okay. All right.
Now, there's Hampton University, right?
Yes.
And then there's Howard University.
Listen, both of them are. How about that? Because both of them made me. How about that? They're both of them are. But you know what? I always say I love both of them for different reasons. Hampton is my first love because that was my first home, right? So they got me from the baby stage and they molded me, shaped me, and made me into Katrina Brown. And with that BA and that master's degree, they got me ready to go out into the workforce. Now, Howard University, HU, you know, my bison, they made me Dr. Katrina Brown. So they took it a different level. And, you know, that admiration I had for seeing Black women with PhDs when I was at Hampton, it went up to like 10 degrees when I went to Howard. Because it was just those women, that's a research institution. I mean, so you have Howard University Hospital where I did a lot of my research participants came from there. Just the access. To so many different powerful people by being in DC that I had at Howard. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. My dissertation advisor, Dr. Joan Payne, we were in the elevator one day and our department was housed in the communications building, that Kathy Hughes communication building, the lady from BET. So we're in there. So of course, WHOV, the TV station, the radio station, is all in our building. In walks Bill Duke. The actor Bill Duke. The actor. And I'm like, she's like, oh, hey, Bill, how are you? I'm like, oh, my God, this is how we do it. It's casual. Introduced me to him. I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy, right? The opportunities that I got at Howard were just phenomenal. The grant that they put me on was to help build Black college professors to come back to HBCUs to teach. And that was the track that I was on. And I did eventually do that. After I left Howard, I went back to Hampton. And I was on faculty there for like 4 years until Love kind of took over. But yeah, so I mean, all the opportunities that I had, just being on that grant, we did a HBCU college tour to Jackson, Mississippi. We went to Tougaloo, we went to Tuskegee, we went to Jackson State. I mean, just exposing us to being a college professor at HBCU. And I still think about all of those experiences that I had from Howard that just took it up a different level than what I received at Hampton. But it's like I had the best of both worlds, you know? So yeah, I claim them both. I need to find a shirt that has Hampton on the front, Howard on the back, or, you know, two-sided. I got to split it down the middle. But yeah, both of them are good. They're phenomenal. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, I joined my freshman year for basketball season. Yep, the old girls, they got tired of cheering for football and basketball, so they wanted a B squad to cheer for the girls' game for basketball season. So I said, you know, I went to a Black school. I got this. Let me see what I can do. Cheering in high school, I got this. But yeah, I don't even know why I tried out, but I just tried out. I think it was another girl in the dorm with me, and we were both like, hey, you cheer? Yeah, cheer. Well, hey, let's go try. And we tried out, and we made it. And I tell you what, there are two experiences that I had at Hampton that I think just really has shaped my experience and my time there and just my life in general. One was making that cheerleading squad, because that just opened me up to all those experiences that you get being a part of something like band or chorus or, you know, cheerleading or the dance team. You know, you get to travel, just opening up that world. And then the second one was when I was initiated as a member of Delta Sigma Theta, Sorority Incorporated, Gamma Delta Chapter. Shout out to my sorors. That just opened up a whole new world for me there. And I mean, I have lifelong sisters. We're celebrating 30 years and we are still tight. We may not see each other. I have one of my line sisters, my LS, that lives here in Charlotte, and we hang out all the time. But as a group, we may not see each other 2-3 years. We get together, it's like we never parted. But those are my lifelong, like, girlfriends. So I love it.
Okay, so my next question is, just to pick, yes, you actually into what I was thinking. So why Delta? Of all the sororities, why Delta?
Why? Okay, so here's another story. I'm full of stories tonight, right? So this story is going to answer why HBCUs and then why Delta. I think, okay, I told you before, I had an older sister that went to South Carolina State, right? Mm. I have a aunt, my mother's sister, Callie O'Neill Streeter. She went to South Carolina State. So, you know, for us, South Carolina State is like the school that if you're going to stay in state and go to an HBCU, you go to South Carolina, mm-hmm, right? Their band, yes, used to visit our high school, and that was the highlight of football season when, yes, their band would come. So I was familiar with HBCUs from an early age. But when my sister went, I think I may have been in middle school, she so graciously let me come and bring one of my friends. And I think I brought Millicent, actually. Remember Millicent Thompson?
Really? Wow.
She's like my neighbor. We used to hang out really, really, really tight. I think, mm-hmm, Millicent and I went up there when we were in middle school. I can't remember if we were like 7th grade, 8th grade, but we were in middle school at the time for the weekend. Okay. And oh my God, stayed in the dorm.
Wow.
I was like, this is great. All these girls, we're just hanging out. And, you know, we're the little sisters. So, mm-hmm, all the girls looking after us. We were eating in the calf. I was like, my sister actually worked in the cafeteria, so we got extra food, you know. Ate in the calf, and then the Deltas came out. They had a line that weekend. So that was my first experience seeing a sorority. I knew about Deltas because we had women in our family circle that were members of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. So I knew about the sorority, but to actually see it on a college campus, to see those girls come out lined up, you know, writing their stuff, I was like, this is... Then there was the concert afterwards. I mean, it just really sinked in that this is what I want my college experience to be. I want to go to an HBCU, and if I go there, I want to be a Delta. So that did it for me. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a Delta. I'm going to have on my little red and white. This is awesome.
Wow.
So that was it. That was the clincher. That was the clincher. But now you know when you go to college, you can't go around telling everybody what you want to be. You got to play incognito, right? And figure out the lay of the land. Figure
lay
out the territory. Lay low for a minute, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Until it's time. Until it's time.
Until it's time. Yeah. And kind of just, you know, let it be out there. But yeah, that I knew. That was it. That was it.
Wow. So
I had no choice. Right?
right. It was ingrained in you. And I love that story because I didn't know that there was a, you know, until you mentioned it, I didn't know that there was a South Carolina State connection. I actually have a Hampton connection that I'm pretty sure you probably don't know. Of the school, when we were coming out of high school, out of Wilson High School, I applied to Howard, I applied to North Carolina A&T. And I told people all the time, like South Carolina State wasn't first on my list. It was probably like fourth, right? But it was the best decision that I made. But I applied to Hampton. Okay, so fast forward. Is this thing recording? No, it's got it's recording. So fast forward. I don't know what happens to my applications at A&T and at Howard. I don't know what happened. Maybe the dog ate it. I don't know.
Wow.
And it, because this is pre-internet, so it's paper applications.
But I
get accepted to Hampton. And I got my acceptance letter from Hampton and South Carolina State on the same day.
Oh, wow. I did not know.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the only thing that probably kept me from going to Hampton was that I had gotten wind that they might be going on probation. And with me playing football, I was just like, I don't know if I want to go to Virginia and, you know, be on probation. And I'm at a school that I don't, you know, I mean, my boy Zell had already said that he was going to Hampton. So I'd have had my best friend there. Right. So that wouldn't have been a problem. You would have been there. I had an older cousin, Benji, that was there at the time as well. So, you know, and Zell's older sister. So I knew a couple of people there.
Yeah.
And we got family in Virginia. So and not even that far from the campus. So I would have kind of been like in the same scenario, but I didn't want to take that risk. And you know, I chose South Carolina State, and as they say, the rest is history. So
the rest is history. Right.
So, you know, it all worked out.
It all worked out. And at that time, when you went to South Carolina State, you guys were still were you in the MEAC?
Yeah. We're still in the MEAC right now.
Y'all still in the MEAC. Yeah. I think when I got to Hampton, we were last year CIAA, maybe, then we went to the MEAC. I remember that.
So yeah, it was it's funny how those things kind of connect and all come back around.
Absolutely.
You actually answered my last question because I was going to ask why, but it's interesting because these experiences really have, you know, molded us. And even though, you know, we can look back and see the progress, it still doesn't feel like we just graduated from high school like a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that I love about that HBCU experience is when we get to do it all over again when we go to homecoming. You know, that is like reliving like our glory days, so to speak, you know, but just to be back in that space and to see those same people, to be on that campus and for it just to be familiar, it just feels like home all over again.
It really does.
So I love it.
It really does. I tell people all the time, like, there's a certain feeling. I know for me, and I'm sure you feel this when you go back to Hampton, when you step on the campus, like that feeling and that air and around you and that vibe, like if I could put it in a bottle and sell it, I mean, like it'd be a bestseller. I mean, like, I just wish everybody could experience that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the love of the HBCUs, right?
It is. And I
always say, we're all little cousins.
We
might fight with each other, but we ain't gonna let nobody else fight with us, right?
And we'll talk a little trash to each other. Right. But we ain't gonna let nobody bother us.
We ain't gonna let nobody else bother us. But truly, that's what it feels like. Even like my husband right now, he is coaching for North Carolina A&T, coaching football.
Okay.
I ain't gonna hold that against him. Listen, Hampton and A&T play each other, and people are like, who you cheering for? I'm like, well, my chat, but my school.
Right. Yeah, that's a big rival for us. That's always been a big rival.
Right? But even when I'm on their campus, I just get, there's a feeling I get. And I'm like, okay, Aggie Pride, y'all better do it. I mean, I'm like cheering on the little cousins. You know what I mean? But I think it's just that love of what we've all collectively have experienced by being in these spaces that we just hold so sacred to us. But I love it. Would not have changed anything.
Same here.
Would not have changed anything.
Well, Katrina, I appreciate you for stopping through and coming on the podcast. This has truly been great.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
Oh, anytime. Listen, if you want to come back. I know you mentioned that you're looking to get a podcast. If you want to come back and practice over here, come on back. You know, hey, now, don't tell me that. Now I'll hit you up.
I'm serious. I'm enjoying this too. Let me know. Show me a topic. We're going to go.
we can definitely do it. For those of you tuning in, thank you for always tuning in to the 12 Kyle podcast. Remember, this podcast drops every Thursday at midnight from time to time. We drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Again, it's on all streaming platforms. Of course, there's a YouTube channel where you can watch all of the video as well as audio content as well. And if you're on TikTok, Twitter X, Facebook, Instagram, the podcast is there as well. 12 Kyle Podcast. You can follow me at 12 Kyle. And if you feel so inclined, if you want to throw a couple of dollars our way, I won't turn them down. Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Again, that's going to do it for me. So for my co-host, Katrina, I am your boy, 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next time.
See you guys. 000. Bye.